Hallelujah. If you feel that way, would you stand right now? And why don't we just worship Him for the change and for the difference that He's made in our life. Hallelujah. Now there are testimonies of that change and that difference all over this house today. I've come to tell somebody that if you need change in your life, you can receive that today. Exactly what this choir just sung about. You can have that difference in your life. Hallelujah. It's good to be with you all this morning on this Fall Fest morning. It doesn't feel too much like fall, but nonetheless it is. Turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 9. We're going to read from the first verse. Acts chapter 9, and the first verse. I'll go ahead and say this. When you hear the title of my message and what I'm going to preach today, you're going to think that me and them got together and figured that out. But I had no idea what they were singing, and they had no idea what I'm preaching today. But it is going to go, and that's because God is in this today. Amen? Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And he journeyed, and he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was already being subject to the Lord as the Lord is touching him and talking to him. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, the Lord appeared to a disciple called Ananias in a vision and said, I'm going to send you to a guy named Saul, and you're going to lay your hands on him, and he's going to receive his sight, and he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Then Ananias, verse 13, answered, Lord, I have heard many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here, right here, he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, watch this, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. He said, I have chosen him. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and that thou mightest be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight, and he arose, and the Bible says that he was baptized. One more portion of scripture, Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Say that with me. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this morning, just for a few minutes, I'm going to preach on this one word title, transformed. Transformed. Would you lift your hands all over this house, and would you ask God to do something in your life? Lord, I thank you for your anointed word. I thank you for the power and the authority that is in your word. I pray, God, that our hearts would be open, that our minds would be open, that we would be ready to receive the change and the transformation that's getting ready to take place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Would you clap your hands one more time before you're seated? Amen, amen, amen. And you may be seated. The word transform means to make a thorough or dramatic change in the form, appearance, or character. I want to talk specifically about appearance here for a second. About a month or two ago, I decided that I was tired of the old hairstyle that I had, Amber. There's a big laugh there, Pastor. And I told that lady that cuts my hair, I want to do something different. And she proceeded to tell me that we could part my hair to the side, which I did that when I was a baby, but I guess, you know, all right, let's do that. So do that. And she said, I'll put a line right here in your hair. I said, okay. So for about the last 2 months, I tried that. And yesterday I went back to the place that I get my hair cut, and the lady was not there that cuts my hair usually. And I thought about turning around and walking out and, you know, coming back another day. But I thought, hey, we're going to have Fall Festival. I'm going to be up front in front of everybody. Might as well get that trimmed up to look nice. So the lady came over and she read the little receipt. And she said, well, you got this last time, this, this, and this. I said, yeah. I said, but I want you to leave it a little longer on the sides. I don't want to be bald. And she said, shook her head, you know. So she put that clipper and she, you know what, how they do, she put the clipper on there and she started on this side and she went, eek. The only word that she heard in that whole sentence was bald. Because all of my hair was gone and one big line right here. And immediately I froze. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I said, what just happened? And she said, isn't this what you wanted? I said, no, that is not what I wanted. She said, well, it's too late now. So she proceeded to take the rest of my hair off on all the way around. And amen. All of my hair was gone, and I got up. Austin was in another chair. He was getting his hair cut, and the lady looked at me, and she smiled, and she said, well, now you look like a young high schooler. And I looked back at her, and I said, I'm a 30-year-old married man with two kids. I do not want to look like a high schooler. So we get into the truck, and Austin looks at my hair, and he smiles, and he says, Dad, you ought to wear a wig. So I get home, and my supporting wife laughs, and she's covering her eyes. And I thought, my Lord, is it really this bad? Andrew said it is. Thank you, Andrew. She tries to reassure me that she likes it and then proceeds to tell me that when I have no hair, it makes my face look a lot chunkier. What a transformation that took place in my life yesterday. Now, I haven't come today to talk to you about the ugly transformation that took place on my head. But I have come to talk to you this morning for a few minutes about the transformation that can take place in your life today if you will allow it to happen. You see, to be transformed would be to allow a dramatic change to happen inside of you. Now, that word change seems to work hand in hand with the word transform. Some of you in this room today despise change. Some of you would rather things stay the same all the time. You don't like change. Now, others of us welcome change. We push for change. You are happy when you see things begin to change. Whether you like change or you don't like change, one thing is for certain, things are always changing. Change is inevitable. Change will happen. Change is happening right now. There is good change and there is bad change. But one thing is for certain, things are definitely changing. For instance, 20 years ago, in 1998, gasoline was $1.03 a gallon. Now, I wasn't driving then, but I wish I was because that's a lot cheaper than what we're paying now. Gas prices change. Interest rates change. The stock market changes. Your bank account changes, hopefully for the positive. We get older and we change. And some of you are getting younger here today, I see. We change in appearance. Cars change, buildings change, cities change, laws change, Supreme Court justices change, presidents change, clothing styles change, hairstyles change, songs change, seasons change, the leaves are going to change shortly, the weather changes hopefully soon. Friends change, people change. If you look all around you, it seems like things are always changing. The world as we know it is constantly changing. Now, I can say that many times as we look at the events that are taking place in our world, it seems that our world is not really changing for the better, but changing for the worse. It is growing darker and darker every day. Things are maybe at a calm right now, but tomorrow that could change. With these changes constantly happening all around us, there seems to be no sense of security, no sense of rest, no sense of peace. And while it seems like everything is changing all around us, I've come to preach today that Jesus Christ has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You will not have to be insecure or worried about Him changing. His grace is still the same. His love has not changed. His mercy endures forever, and His Spirit is still sufficient. Can I preach today that God is still a refuge in the time of trouble? And when the storms of life surround us, God is still a peace speaker. And when you don't know what you're going to do about your finances, God is still a provider. He does not change. When the doctor gives you a bad diagnosis, He is still the miracle worker and the healer. God is still the same, and He has not changed. That is important because while Jesus Christ has not changed, He is the only one that can bring great, refreshed, and new change into your life. Some of you have walked in here today needing change in your life. There's an emptiness or a void inside of you. You have searched everywhere. You have done all you know to do, but you have not been able to fill the emptiness that you feel or the void. Nothing seems to take away the pain. Can I tell you that it is not by miracle coincidence that you have walked in this church building today, but God has directed your steps. And I feel in the Holy Ghost to tell you that God loves you and that God cares for every single person in this place today. This is what I felt in the Holy Ghost this morning in prayer. God has not forsaken you. You have thought that you are all alone and that He had forgotten you, but that is not the case. Hear this young preacher today. He knows exactly where you are at in life right now. It may have taken you by surprise, but it has not taken God by surprise. He is walking with you every step of the way, and He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you. And if you will let Him, He's going to bring great change into your life. Would you lift your hands right now? And would you thank the Lord that we have a God that has not changed? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes change is easy. Many times change is hard. Nevertheless, change is essential for growth. Change is essential for growth. Change makes us get out of our comfort zone. Change stirs us. Change shakes us. And change demands growth. In our text today, we read about a man named Saul. Saul was a Pharisee, a Roman citizen, a member of the Sanhedrin, and most of all, he was a persecutor of the church of Jesus Christ. Saul was trying to destroy the church. He was going around house to house, arresting the disciples and the followers of Jesus. That persecution caused the disciples to move and flee to different places, but he was still breathing threats of murder against them. He said, well, if they're over there, then I'm going to get to what I need to get to go to where they are and arrest them and bring them back. He was on his way to Damascus, as we read in our text today, and to arrest the disciples and followers of Jesus. And as he and his men were approaching Damascus, the Bible says that a light was shining from heaven and surrounded him, and he fell to the ground. And a voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he replied, I love this, who are you, Lord? He knew that this was not some normal thing that was happening to him, but there was something that was very supernatural that was taking place in his life, and God had to be involved in it somehow, some way. He said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. I'm going to give you a revelation of who I am right here, right now, Saul, on your way to this transformation. I am Jesus, who you persecute. And Saul, understanding that there was a supernatural presence that was there. Saul, understanding that this wasn't normal and this is very different than anything that he had encountered before. Saul, understanding that Jesus Christ himself was speaking to him. He kneeled down in submission and he said, what do you want me to do? In other words, I'm opening my life right now. I'm submitting my life to you. Whatever it is that you want me to do, I'm open to that. Just tell me what to do. Jesus said, I want you to go into the city, and then you're going to be told what to do. And then the Lord appeared to a disciple named Ananias in a vision, and he said, go and lay your hands on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias, like many of us, said, Lord, I've heard of this man. I've heard of all the evil that he's been doing to the saints. He's now coming to Damascus. His sole intention to come to Damascus is to arrest the Christians and the followers of you. Are you sure this is the right guy? I know who he is. Do you know who he is? Is this the right guy? Are you sure? I love this. And the Lord said to Ananias, he said, you go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. In other words, it's not your place to judge him for who he was. It's not your place to judge him for what he has done in his past. He is chosen unto me. And the change that is getting ready to take place in his life is going to transform him, and it's going to transform everybody that he comes in contact with. Verse 17, Ananias went his way and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, brother Saul, he accepted him. You're a brother now. The Lord has chosen you. Brother Saul. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight. Listen, and here's where the real transformation is going to happen, and that you might receive the Holy Ghost. And immediately, the Bible says, there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight, and he was baptized. The scales that fell off his eyes were just not physical scales to allow him to see, but spiritual scales fell from his eyes. He was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name. And when that took place, there was a transformation that took place on the inside of him and on the outside of him. As the choir sang, he didn't walk like he used to walk. He didn't talk like he used to talk. He didn't do what he used to do because he was changed and he was transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever been changed in your life by the Holy Ghost? Would you clap your hands and would you thank God for the change that's happened in your life? Paul is undoubtedly one of the most important and influential apostles in history, writing 13 books and traveling more than 10,000 miles, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. The transformation that took place in his life affected everyone that he came in contact with. Transformation, you see, is an act of God in your life that he initiates through his divine intervention. As we saw in Saul's life, it was the Damascus Road. It was his Damascus experience where God started the transformation process in his life. Now, I believe that God is wanting to start a transformation process in this place here today. Do you believe that? The first step for this change and transformation to take place is for you to acknowledge that you need change in your life. Paul writes a very direct word in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. He says, "Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He said, "Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now that was pretty straightforward. Do you agree? He laid it out on the line right there. He said, if you are living an unrighteous lifestyle, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But then he follows up in verse 11, and this is why I love this man so much. He said, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Paul was not going to hide the fact that unrighteousness and sin was not going to make it to heaven. But then he followed up with saying, some of you were involved in those type of things, but you have been changed and transformed by the power of God. Now, I mentioned it in the beginning, but there are testimonies of people all over this congregation that have been transformed and changed by the power of God. I know that I don't know every story, and I know some of them, but if you would know the stories of some of these people, of where they were, what they were involved with, the things that were going on in their life, you might look at them like Ananias and say, "Wait a minute, God, are you sure about them? Are you sure that they can change? Are you sure that they can be transformed?" But that's just the power of our God. When he changes you, there is a transformation that takes place. No longer are you the same person. No longer do you want the things you used to want, or say the things you used to say, or live the way you used to live, or do the things, or give the way you used to give. There is a change and a transformation that takes place when God is involved. The first step of transformation is simply acknowledging that you have some things in your life that should not be there. And we call this repentance. It's simply saying, "God, I don't want those things in my life anymore. I don't want to be that person anymore. Forgive me for those things in my life." And you see, that's the beauty of repentance. Repentance isn't just asking God for forgiveness, and it is that, but it is turning 180 degrees away from it. That is who I used to be. That is what I used to do. That is what I used to say. But God, I don't want that in my life no more. Forgive me and cleanse me, and I'm going to walk the opposite direction because I want to be changed by you. That's true repentance. Once you repent, you can tell God that you want this change in your life. You want this transformation, and that comes through the Holy Spirit. God, I want your Spirit in my life. And as you begin to pray to Him, and you begin to ask Him to fill you with His Spirit, you, the Bible says that you shall be filled, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you'll begin to speak in a heavenly language as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And finally, the Bible tells us that we must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We call this whole process the new birth experience. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. When we repent, we die out to the old man. When we're baptized, we bury all of that junk in a watery grave. And then He rose again, and we get the Spirit that causes us to have everlasting life. Now, I want to encourage you. We're going to have a time of prayer in just a few minutes, but I want to encourage you. If you have not repented of your sins, you can do that today. If you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, I know we've got some things going on after service, but we've got robes in the back and we've got water ready. And if you would like to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you can do that today. We would be more than happy. And finally, if you have never yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God wants to give that gift to you today. You do not have to wait till tomorrow or for the next service or for next Sunday. God will fill you with His power, and He will change you and transform you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I love this. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. All those old things that I used to be and used to say and used to do are gone. They are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Who you used to be, what you used to do, all those things are passed away. And God will make you new. In closing, I want to tell you just a short story about one of my family members. His name was Glenn McGuire. Would you put that picture up there? Thank you. His name was Glenn McGuire. This is my dad's dad. Many of you have heard this story, but he was in the military for 30 plus years. He was a real high-ranking officer. He spoke 9 languages, could read and write 7 of those languages. He was one of 30 advisors in the Vietnam War. He toured 2 times in Vietnam. The first time, a grenade exploded by his leg and he had shrapnel on his leg. His second tour, he was shot in the stomach and they had to run these plastic veins and do all this stuff just to keep him alive. My dad told me some stories about him. He was a military man. That's all he knew. That's what he did. He was in the military. And when he wasn't overseas, when he wasn't in war, he wasn't leading whatever, doing whatever, he was camped out at the bar. My dad told me that when he was a young boy, if he needed to ask his dad a question when he was home, or if he needed money for something, or needed to talk to him about something, he always knew where to find him. He was down the street at the bar getting drunk. I don't have time to go into the testimony of my dad's life. By the way, the change that God wants to do in your life, it can happen anywhere. It happened in a Ford Pinto for him. It happened on the road to Damascus for Paul. It can happen in a church service today for you. But there was a change that happened in my life, in my dad's life. And he was in the military. He was following his dad's steps. And in the military, he was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he was baptized, thank God. And he was trying to get across to his family. None of his family served God at all. But he was trying to get across to his family that this change could happen in their life. My dad lived it, and he lived it, and he lived it, and he lived it in front of his parents and in front of his dad. And when he called his dad to try to talk to him about Jesus, you know what his dad said? We'll see how long this lasts. That's what he would tell him. We'll see how long this lasts. My dad would call him and try to talk to him, and finally Glenn McGuire said, Mike, I don't want to hear about it anymore. I don't want you talking to me about Jesus anymore. You see, the reason why he told my dad he didn't want him talking to him about Jesus is because he had done too many bad things. And he had killed too many people in Vietnam War. And there was no way that God could forgive him and touch him. We got a call that my grandpa McGuire in Phoenix, Arizona, Tucson, Arizona, was dying. And so my mom, my dad, and I went and we flew to Arizona. And his sister called him and said, Mike, I want you to bring your suit and I want you to, the family wants you to preach dad's funeral. So we got there, and as my dad walked into the room and he opened that curtain, Glenn McGuire looked up at him in that hospital bed and he pointed at him. And he said, 19 years ago, you told me you saw the light. Now, what about it? What about it? My dad began to tell my grandpa about the change that happened in his life. And my grandpa, desperately desiring change and transformation in his life, did like Paul and said, what do I need to do? Would you put the next picture up? And my dad said, well, Dad, I know that you're in pretty bad health and you're here in the hospital, but you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And my grandpa said, whatever it takes, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. The next slide. They got a chair and they had just a tub of water. The next slide, and they put him down in that water, and he went down in the precious name of Jesus Christ for the remission of all of his sins. And from that point forward, he was not who he used to be. He was not what he used to be. All those old things were gone and they were buried in a baptism. And then a miracle happened in his life. And he didn't die, and he was able to come out of that hospital. And I remembered he wheeled himself down at the church in Tucson, Arizona. It seats about 2,000 people. And he came down the side and he lifted his hands in that wheelchair and he began to cry out to God, and God began to baptize him with the power of the Holy Ghost. And he began to speak in other tongues. That was a life-altering transformation that took place not only in his life, but in his entire family. Because when his family saw that Glenn McGuire can be changed and transformed, they said, we want this transformation in our life. On the inside, he was completely different, but on the outside, my mom describes it as, it was never, I love you, son, before. It was always a handshake. He never said, I love you, to my dad. He never hugged him. He never kissed him. But after this transformation took place, he would grab everybody he could by the neck and begin to hug them and love on them, because it was a transformation that took place on the inside as well on the outside. Would you stand with me right now? I've come to tell somebody here today, it does not matter what your past looks like. It does not matter what you have gone through. It does not matter what you have done. There is nothing that you have done in your life that God cannot forgive and wash away. And he wants to do that today. He wants to bring great change and great transformation in your life. Would you lift your hands right now? I feel the Holy Ghost in this place, and he's speaking and he's talking to people all over this house. Oh God, it's not by mere coincidence that these people are here today, but you have a great change and transformation that is getting ready to take place in their life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to look at your neighbor and I want you to ask him, do you want change in your life today? Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, do you want change in your life today? This is what I want you to do. I want you to grab your neighbor by the hand if it's comfortable. And everybody that would you begin to, they're going to sing here, but we're going to come down here to an altar and we're going to lift our hands. And for those of you that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, this is going to be an opportunity for you to thank God what He has done in your life. For those of you that need change in your life, God is ready. He's just waiting on you. God is ready and He's just waiting on you. Would you begin to come right now? Everyone that would you begin to come down here to an altar and would you lift your hands and would you begin to talk to God, however it is that you want to do that.